You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, December 27th, 2017. It is the third day of Christmas, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. Now, if you enjoy the show, you can subscribe to it and have it delivered to your device each day. You can do so on either iTunes or Spotify, and in addition to other options. And if you really enjoy the show, please leave it a good rating in iTunes. Helps us out, and we appreciate it. We are in the final week of the NFL season. At least it's the final week of the NFL season for the New York Jets. We will have some playoffs, but the Jets will not be in them after this week. So the focus is kind of turning to the offseason. As I said, going back to the summer, going back to even last spring, in many ways, I kind of viewed the 2017 season as a mechanism to get the Jets to 2018 and beyond. And even though the Jets showed some fight early in this season, that really has proven to be accurate, particularly as we've gotten deeper into the season. Jets team has fought hard. They got off to a good start. They were 3-2 after 5 weeks, but this team currently sits at 5-10, and in all honesty, it's difficult to see how this thing does not finish at 5-11. The Jets are heading up to Foxborough to play an excellent Patriots team. The Patriots team with a lot on the line because they need to win this weekend to clinch home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. If they lose this weekend and the Steelers win, the Patriots are looking at a potential road AFC championship game in Pittsburgh, which I know they beat the Steelers a few weeks ago. But that's not going to be an easy place to win twice in one season. And, of course, it took a controversial call for them to win. So this is a big game for the Patriots. Patriots are going to play this hard. They're going to look to win and lock up home field advantage in the AFC, while the Jets will look to the offseason. And I kind of wanted to set the tone, set the stage for the offseason and really take a look at the next few years with the Jets. And I go back to something I said on yesterday's show where when I was watching the Saturday night game between the Vikings and the Packers, one of the things that jumped out to me was on every different play, there was a different Viking who was making a play to stand out. And I said at one point, man, the Vikings just have good players up and down that roster. It's no wonder that they're in such good shape. Even given their unstable quarterback situation this year, It's no wonder that they're right near the top of the NFC standings, because that's a team that just has talent up and down the roster. Then I compare it to the Jets, and it doesn't look quite as good. So I just wanted to kind of take stock of what the Jets have right now, and you'll see that there's not a great base of talent to build around. You know, there are 5-11, 6-10 type seasons where you feel like you're building. Say like next year, the Browns have a lot of draft picks. They have a lot of cap space. They're probably going to get a quarterback to build around in this year's draft. You look at the Browns, say a year from now, the Browns are 6-10. Say they're 5-11, 6-10. That's the type of season where you'll feel like they're heading in the right direction. And heck, we can even say the Jets, because the Jets could get a quarterback that could really hit a home run in the draft. If they go 6-10 next year in certain situations, you know, certain circumstances, you could say this team's really heading in the right direction. But right now, I feel like the Jets are kind of in neutral at the moment, because you look at this roster, there's just not a lot of young talent to build around. So it's going to take, you know, a big effort, because I think you go position by position. Why don't we do that? And, you know, you start at the quarterback position, and there's nothing there. There's nothing there. You had McCown, who played better than a lot of people, myself included, thought he would. But at the end of the day, this is a guy who's, first of all, 38 years old. And second of all, if you look at his career, even at points this year, he's really better suited as a backup quarterback. So essentially, you had a backup quarterback starting most of the year, and you had guys who may not belong in the NFL behind him. You look at the way Petty has played since he stepped into the lineup. You look at the way Hackenberg looked in preseason. I don't think it's clear at all that those guys have any sort of future in the NFL. It would not surprise me if 2 years from now, both of those guys are out of the league. So the most important position on the field, you don't really have anything to build around. You know, you don't have a base of talent. And that's something you need to compete in the NFL. You need a quarterback. You need a guy. So I think that's something where you start in that, when you start in that situation, you are already behind the eight ball, because you're behind at the most important position on the field. You move to running back, things look a little brighter there. Now, Bilal Powell, I think, is closer to the finish than he is the start. Matt Forte is at the finish. He's at the finish. You do have a young guy, Elijah McGuire, a late round pick this year, who flashed some skills. I'll tell you, I don't think the numbers do him justice to how effective he looked. He showed he has some receiving skill. He's got some ability on zone runs, good vision, made some ridiculous cuts. So you have a guy, probably a guy who would need to work in a tandem or a trio. But he's at least one piece of a good backfield going forward. I'm not sure he's going to be a three down back. They have the three down back in the NFL. Aside from the really top end backs in this league, I'm not sure it really exists anymore. So in McGuire, you have part of a backfield, but you don't have a full backfield. You go to the wide receiver position. Things are a little better there. You do have two pieces you can work with going forward. You have Robbie Anderson, who, of course, had a very good second season in this league, has a shot at 1,000 yards and really established himself as a deep threat. Now, as part of, there are other parts of his game that still need some work if he's really going to be a go-to guy, a number one receiver in this league. I think over the last few weeks, you've seen him struggle against some of the top-end corners in this league, so maybe he'd benefit from a go-to guy who could take some pressure off him. I think, the quarterback situation has obviously hurt him, but I think, his limitations have shown up a little bit in his route running. There was one play against the Chargers this past weekend where he ran a slant and he kind of broke off the route because you could see that there was a guy bearing down on him. It looked like he kind of wanted to avoid the big hit. But Anderson's a piece going – I'm not sure he's a go-to guy, but I think he's a starter, which is more than I could say heading into the season. I didn't know what he was. I think this year he looks like a starter, and then you have Quincy Enunwa, who should be back next year, hopefully, if all goes well with his health. Nice complimentary piece. So what you really need, you probably need one more receiver. I don't think Jermaine Kearse is the answer. Jermaine Kearse is kind of a veteran journeyman. So wide receiver, you're in better shape than you thought you were at the start of the year. So that's a good sign. Now we move to the tight end position. I don't think you really have anything to build around going forward there. And I know Austin Seferian Jenkins got off to an intriguing start. He had plenty of hype over the summer. I think his season shows you how leery you should be of offseason prognostications about this guy's in the best shape of his career. He's going to break out. And I'll admit, I bought into it a little bit. He got off to a decent start, but he's really slowed down. And I've heard comparisons to Jeff Cumberland. If you remember Cumberland from a few years ago, the Jets tight end, I think that's actually pretty accurate. He's like Cumberland. He's a guy with immense physical tools, but he just doesn't seem like you hear about some guys who are faster than their time, faster than their physical test. I feel like Seferian Jenkins is a guy who's not as athletic as he looks when he's just doing drills. And, he hasn't really been a guy that stretched the field. Early in the season, I said they got to work him down the field. And then I saw them work him down the field, and he really wasn't getting a lot of separation. He's a guy who inconsistently uses his size to win contested balls. He gives effort as a blocker, but he's not a great blocker. He's probably a subpar blocker. He works hard. He tries. There are some tight ends you watch, and they don't want any part of blocking. That's not what I'd say about Seferian Jenkins, but I think the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He tries hard. Sometimes he throws good blocks, but not consistently. He's a guy who, he's okay. He's okay if you don't have anybody else. He's better than what the Jets had 2015, 2016, where they really had no players at the position. He's a step above that, but he's not really a foundational piece going forward. And then you have Eric Tomlinson, who's, a nice blocker, who I think has gotten a little less effective as the season has gone on. Early in the season, he was throwing a lot of key blocks on big plays. I think he's gotten a little less effective. But he profiles as more of a kind of a third tackle than a second tight end. By third tackle, I don't mean you're converting him to the tackle position. I just think there are certain tight ends. There's some tight ends who essentially are as good as putting an extra offensive lineman on there because they're good blockers, but they don't really add a lot in the passing game, and I think that's true of Tomlinson. I don't think you really have a lot of foundational pieces going forward. Then you go to the offensive line. I don't know what you have there. You have Brandon Schell, who maybe can play right tackle. Maybe. And I think that's an open question at the end of his second season, because I think there are lots of question marks about his ability to play. I think he got off to a good start in his first few games of his career. But he's been up and down. He's had some very good games against some very good opponents, but he's also had some very bad games against some good opponents, some not-so-good opponents. Inconsistent. And the issue with him, the thing that concerns me about him is that I'm not sure his issues are technical. Sometimes you say, a player needs to develop. I'm not sure his issues are technical as much as it's just a question of whether he's athletic enough to defend the edge, to protect the edge. And that's an open-ended question. But Shell's at least a guy who could be a piece of the puzzle going forward. I don't think the Jets have another piece on the entire offensive line long term. You have Brian Winters, who's really been a disappointment. And I'll tell you something. I think you watched Dakota Dozier play on Sunday. I didn't think Dozier was great, but he's played a couple games this year. I think you can make a case he's better than Winters. He's not that great, but I almost wonder. I've seen enough out of him. I wonder what would have happened if the Jets had focused on developing him, given him first-team reps through the offseason, through preseason, whether they could have gotten more out of him. And I tell you, it's not good when you're paying a guy $7 million and his backup comes in and plays and there's no drop-off. Because you're paying a premium. There's a reason you pay $7 million, because you think this guy's a lot better than what else I could put out there. So that's an issue. And I think Winter's going to be on the team next year because they have to keep him because of the contract they signed, which looks bad. But I don't think he's a piece of the puzzle going forward. At center, again, at center's an important. We've found out how important center is this year, because Wesley Johnson did not do the job this year. The Jets invested a lot in their ability to develop him. I guess they you know, we talked last offseason about the coaching that they were putting their trust in, and it just hasn't worked out. And Jonathan Harrison came in this Sunday. He was a guy that kind of found off the scrap heap, and he's getting a lot of love because he threw a block on a safety. You know, he nudged a safety 30 yards down the field to spring a touchdown. But I watched the film of that game. He was very ineffective. Lots of missed blocks. I mean, a lot of the same issues you see with Johnson. So, I mean, I don't think the Jets have a center on their team. James Carpenter is approaching 30, and I think he's not had a great year. I'm not sure he's a long-term solution anyway because he's getting older, and he's been inconsistent. And Kelvin Beachum, who... Beachum's a stopgap. I think that's what he is. He'll be on the team again next year because of his contract. He hasn't been terrible. You could probably argue he's been the best offensive lineman the Jets have had this year, but he's not a top-end left tackle. At a position that's very important. A position that's one of the most important positions. He's not a top-level talent. He's a guy you can get by with more than a guy who makes a difference. And particularly, he's just not a good run blocker. I mean, I think he might be the worst run blocker on this offensive line. He's done okay in pass protection, which you're a left tackle. That's a big part of the job. He hasn't been great in pass protection, but you know he's more a stopgap. So I think you look at the offensive line. I'm not sure you have a single long-term player on that line, and that's a problem. That's a big problem. And you look at it. I can live with, okay, I have one piece of a backfield. I have two receivers. That's not bad. You're not bad in those positions. But, I mean, premium spots on the offense, quarterback, offensive line, you have nothing. And that's a big problem. And it shows you the hill the Jets are facing going forward. You look to the defensive side of the ball now. On the defensive line, you have Leonard Williams, which is an excellent piece to build around. Muhammad Wilkerson's not going to be back, so he'll have to be replaced. Steve McClendon, can he stick around a few more years? I don't know. Mike Pinnell has actually been a really nice addition, quietly been a very nice addition. I don't know. Outside of Williams, I'm not sure how many pieces you have that'll be around 3 years from now, but I think those guys could be. I think you've shown this. This franchise has shown an ability to develop quality defensive linemen, so I'm not so worried about the defensive line. Now, you look to the linebackers, that's more of a question. DeMario Davis is having a good year. Will he be back next year? Will he decline next year if he is back? Is that a contract you're going to regret? Because how many times a guy has a great contract year, gets too much money, and you regret it? Brian Winters, last year, I kept hearing it in the offseason, Winters is the priority, Winters is the priority. Well, they made him a priority and did not pan out, so you got a question there. Darren Lee, who, I mean, he's not terrible, but he seems like a marginal starter at linebacker through 2 years, and it's a concern because he really has not developed the way you want him to develop. I think if you told me in 2016 that this is what I'd have at the end of year 2 with Lee, I would not be happy with it. I think he's a guy who you're looking at the. I'll tell you, I'm looking at this, and when the Jets have to make a decision on the fifth-year option, every first-round pick has a four-year contract. The team has an option they can exercise on the player's fifth year, and it's a raise. When the Jets get to that point, unless we see big improvement over the next year from Lee, I'm not sure you exercise it. I think Lee right now just looks like a guy, and you need more. You'd like more out of your out of a first-round pick than what you've gotten so far. He's a little better, but I don't think there's been substantial improvement in any parts of the game that were weak. So I don't know what you have at linebacker. What you have at linebacker is very unclear. You look at the edge, and the edge on defense, the edge is the most important spot. And you have Jordan Jenkins, who's okay, but the issue with him is that he's not a good pass rusher at a pass rushing position. So Jenkins you can live with as a guy who plays the run well, who sets the edge, does some of the dirty work, as long as you have a guy across from him who can get after the passer. And you don't have that right now. You don't have that edge rusher who can change a game. So that's where you're at on the edge. So that's an issue. That's another issue. That's a big issue. You know, this is, quarterback's a big issue. You don't have a quarterback, you got problems. You don't have an offensive line, usually you got problems, unless you have a quarterback. You don't have an edge rusher on defense, you got problems. So, I mean, you're just taking stock of this team. Every place that's important, the Jets don't have anything. And let's move to the next spot, corner, which is, again, a premium position, probably the second most important position on this in this defensive scheme, aside from edge rusher. In this league, this is a passing league. So on defense, you either have to get after the passer, or you have to be able to cover. And the Jets don't really have a corner who can cover. The Jets don't really have a guy like that. Maurice Claiborne got off to a good start this season, but he's really struggled, and he struggled with injury. He's not a guy you can rely on. Even if you bring him back, first of all, I think it's got to be a one-year deal. It's got to be a relatively cheap deal. But he's not a guy who's really been reliable over the course of the full season. After that, Buster Skrin, Buster Skrin played a great game in New Orleans, and then all these stories start popping up. What a great season, Buster. He had one good game. All these stories are popping up about what a season Buster Skrin's having. The Skrin's not worth the money. I think Skrin should be a cut. I'm not sure whether he will be a cut, but he's not a good cover guy. And then Justin Burris has kind of failed to launch this year. I think he's a guy you're at the point where he's a fourth-round pick from 2016. You're hoping more than you're expecting good things. If he does good things going forward, it's a pleasant surprise, but it's not something you can count on because for so many players, the biggest improvement is between year one and year two. And aside from that, you have guys Daryl Roberts, you have Robinson, who they traded from San Francisco. You just don't really have anything at the corner position. And when you don't have a pass rusher off the edge and when you don't have corners who can cover, that's the whole ball game on defense. That's a big deal. And then you finish at the safety position where you have two guys who have flashed some promise, but have also been inconsistent. Jamal Adams, Marcus May, you're hoping for improvement. I'm satisfied with what I've gotten as a rookie from them because two of them look like they belong. They're both moments where you kind of say, wow. And there are moments of inconsistency, which I expect with rookies. I have very low expectations for rookies. But anyway, you look at this team and you see the challenge that's in front of you because I'm not saying you have no young players, but you compare the Jets with other situations, and there just aren't many long-term answers on this team, and it's especially true at the important spots on the field. You know, quarterback, offensive line, corner, edge rusher. You don't have any of those, and that's really the challenge, and that's why this might be more than a one-year fix, because there's only so much you can do in one offseason, in one draft. You might need more than that, and it's the reason the Jets find themselves where they are at 5-10, and it's the reason the Jets are going to be picking early in the draft, and it's probably the reason that that good start is worn off. It wasn't sustainable with the players the Jets have at the premium positions. So this is the spot the Jets find themselves in. They're in a bit of a hole, and they have to dig themselves out of it. On that happy note, thanks for tuning in today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a good review if you enjoy it. Hope you have a great Wednesday. We'll be back again tomorrow.